People believe God is good. Good, good. What I want to do this morning is I want to talk on a subject that we can all identify with. It's going to be a very relevant message this morning because this is just a part of all of our lives. And this morning what I want to do is I want to talk about problems. You can call them difficulties. You can call them troubles. They all come from the same family, okay? Problems, difficulties, and troubles. And let me begin by asking, is there anyone here that's ever had a problem before? Let me put on my glasses. How about the rest of you, man? How's it feel to live a problem-free life? You know what? I am thoroughly convinced if I would say, raise your hands if you want $2 million, you still wouldn't raise your hand. Oh, there we go. There's one. Anybody over here? The check is in the mail. Don't cross your fingers, okay? But anyway, we all go through problems. We've all faced them. They're a part of life. And the things with problems, somebody said that they're kind of like here all the time. They're just a part of life. And they're just come in all different shapes. They come in all different sizes. And I want to give you an example of a problem. Just share with you just to show how problems are a big part of life. They come small, they come big. And tell you a story that we as a family faced in June of 2016. We like you and hopefully like you. I hope you're in this category. We filled out our tax return for 2015 with our accountant. And it was looking really good. We were excited for the return. How many people always plan for a return? I'm a return guy. I know they tell me don't do that, but I do it, okay? So anyway, in about May of that year, 2015, I got a letter from the IRS, and they said, in order to process your return, we need further information. I hate that because it takes time. You know what I'm talking about? So I took the time, and I got the information that they were requesting. And about a month later, I got a second letter, and I think I told you this a while back. And the second letter is basically, this is my interpretation. Hey, buddy, forget the return. You owe us a lot of money. So the difference between what we thought we were going to get and the difference between what they were saying we needed to pay was about $12,000. And I don't have $12,000. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So one of the first things I did is I called my accountant. Called another friend that was an accountant. They assured me that there was obviously a problem. So we went through obviously a problem, you know, duh. And we went through I want to let you know, we went through a year and a half of facing a big problem. A year and a half. There was letters going back and forth. Then they would send me the reminder, hey, you still owe this. And by the way, we're starting to charge interest. Aren't they nice? So anyway, about 14 months into the journey, my tax guy said, listen up, we're not going to go this route anymore. I've set up an appointment where we're going to go face-to-face with an IRS agent. Has anybody ever gone face-to-face? So we went down to St. Paul, and we went up there to the secured guard area, and we went face-to-face with the IRS agent. And she sat us down, and she was like a grandmother figure, okay? So she started asking a lot of questions like, your name, social security number, birth dates. And she said, Mr. Bechtel, when I look at my screen, you don't owe us anything. She said, your wife, on the other hand. Your wife, on the other hand, owes us a lot of money. So I called Heather afterwards and said, hey, good news. I'm debt free, baby. Bad news, you owe a lot of money. But before that conversation came to an end, she said she had this computer on her desk, and as I'm talking, it was amazing. She's scrolling through all this information. And she said, do you have kids? I said, I think so. I have two kids. She said, Mr. Bechtel, I want to let you know you have been the victim of identity theft. And she said that somebody else has gathered your birth dates, you and your wife, your social security numbers, your address, everything. They know it all. And what happened in 2015, somebody filled out a false return, not in my name, but in Heather's name. So by the end of the conversation, she says, well, we see what the problem is now. They filled out the fake return before you did, before you sent in your return. When your return came in, they just kicked it out. It was never processed. So they said, here was what you need to do, and they gave me an affidavit that I had to file with the federal agents. We filed that. Then I had to call a lady wherever, I think in St. Louis, and she asked me probably about 20 questions that only I would be able to answer, personal questions, to make sure that I was really who I said I was. And here's the deal. About 3 weeks ago, I went home from lunch. I opened the mailbox, and guess what? I got a check, baby. I got a check. So what I did is I put the check on the table, I took a picture of it and texted to Heather and said, let's party, all right? Let's party, let's have a great time. And I'm so thankful that this problem in my life was solved. I mean, it was like 15 to 16 months where we weren't sure what was going to happen. We weren't sure. We were just kind of going with the flow. But that problem has been solved. But there's one thing that I've discovered throughout the years is that problems in people's lives aren't one and done. You know what I'm talking about? It's not that you have one big problem, now you're free from problems the rest of your life. You did your time, you're done, okay? But here's the deal, problems are a big part of life. I found out that problems are like dandelions. You know, you go out in your yard and you pull one dandelion, then you go out the next morning, how many are there? 4, 5, 10 different dandelions, problems, okay? They grow up overnight. And as one person said, your problems can either make you or break you. I want everybody to hear that loud and clear. Your problems will make you or they will break you. Your challenges, your troubles in life, you choose. Will they make or break you, okay? And I don't think there's a person in this room this morning that you would say, hey, I want my problems to break me, okay? And what we want is we want those problems to make us what? Stronger. Those problems, those troubles, they're there to make us stronger if we choose to respond the correct way. I love what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to the things that happen to you. It's all about your response. Will you be broken or will you be stronger? So how can we be stronger? So what we're going to do today, and I want you to grab your Bibles and begin to open up to the book of 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we're going to get a lot of wisdom this morning of how to handle problems, how to handle these troubles, these difficulties that come our way. And before we look at how Paul handled these things, we need to understand that if there was a man who knew about problems, if there was a man who knew about troubles and difficulties, it was the Apostle Paul. I want everybody to hear me real clear right now. Everybody just give me your best hearing for the next 20 seconds. Paul had problems. And I look at that and I think, Paul had problems? This man of God that wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament, this man of God who had a heart for God's will for his life, this man of God who was very zealous to live for God, who gave everything for Jesus, he had problems? Yes, even in the middle of God's will, even in the middle of your desire to say, God, I want to live for you, I want to give all to you, even in the midst of that, how many people know that doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from problems? Does everybody get that this morning? Paul had problems. Mike Bechtel is going to have problems. Are you hearing me this morning? Paul had problems. Nick's going to have big problems, okay? We're going to have problems. Look at Paul's resume for problems. We're going to begin by looking at chapter 11. By the way, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians throughout the morning. Keep your Bible open. We're starting at the end, and we're actually going to move all the way to... We're going to go backwards today, okay? Let's look at Paul's resume for problems. He says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. He said, I've worked harder. Then he begins this resume of problems that he went through as he's serving God with all of his heart. He says, I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. He goes on to say 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes, and they would stop there because they believed the 40th was the death sentence. He goes on to say 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and he's not talking about with drugs, okay, guys? He's talking about with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many, many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I have faced danger even from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities. I have faced danger in the deserts, on the sea. Are you catching this? Everywhere he went, there were what? Everybody say problems, troubles. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers. They claim to be believers, but they're not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. How many have been there before? I have been hungry. I have been thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Guys, I want you to get this. This is a guy that's at the center of God's will. He's doing what God has called him to do. He's pursuing a relationship with Christ. Yet, even in the midst of all that, he gives us this resume of all the different things he's faced. So how many would agree with me that Paul surely faced his share of problems, of troubles? I think there's enough in Paul's life to help all of us couldn't even cover all the things that he's gone through. So here's the question I want to pose to you this morning. Did all these problems that Paul faced, did they make or break Paul? Don't answer out loud. I want you to think about it. Did these problems cause Paul to say, I'm fed up with it, God. I quit. I'm writing the New Testament. I'm still having problems. I'm starting churches. I'm going on 3 different missionary journeys, God. I'm fed up with it, God. Where are you in the midst of my serving you? God, are you out there? So my question is, did they make or break Paul? Did he give up and quit? Or did he move forward? Did he move forward and grow from his problems, or did he quit? So now what I want you to do, the answer is found, go back to chapter 4. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did he quit? Did he give up? Or did he continue forward? I think many of us know this, but you need to see it in ink. Paul says these words in chapter 4. If you look down in your Bible, it's the verse 16. Let's read 3 verses. Paul begins by saying, can we say this first sentence together? That is why we never give up. Can we say that again? That is why we never give up. He didn't give up. How many people have ever felt like giving up before? Giving up on God? Giving up on something you believe God called you to do? I want to let you know there's not a lot, but there's days I want to quit here. God, what's the buyout? Why? Because there's, like everybody else, your problems cause frustrations, tension. You've had enough. And he says, that's why we never quit. He didn't quit. Go on to read. He says, though our bodies are dying, check this out, you guys. Your body is dying. Everybody say to your neighbor, your body's dying. But check this out. Our spirits are being what? Renewed every day. That's why I look so young. Okay? Our spirits are being renewed every day. Check this line out. Everybody listen to this with your best ear. For our present troubles are, everybody say the word together, small. Well, Mike, you don't know what I'm going through. If there's anyone who went through a lot, it was who? Paul. And he says, my present troubles are small. And check this out. They won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we do what? Everybody look at this. We fix our gaze. Another way you could say we fix our eyes. We fix our focus on what? The things that cannot be seen. For the things that we can see now, the problems, the troubles, the difficulties, the things that we can see now, I want to give you guys a good report, will soon be gone. Soon they're going to be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last for how long? Everybody say it together. Forever. What's he talking about, the things unseen? He's talking about our faith. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the eternal things will last forever. And see, I find it very incredible. I find it very comforting that a guy that went through all this never lost heart. He never gave up. He never gave up. Why did he never give up? Because I think what he saw and experienced around him, he understood something. Paul understood something, and that is, my problems aren't all there is. So I want you to write something down. If you can find a pencil, if you can't find a pencil, find it somewhere, okay? I want you to write this down and remember this. This is the big idea of my message this morning. It's not a real fancy message, but it's a message that I want to give you a nugget. And if you latch on to this nugget, it will change how you look at your problems. It will turn you from being somebody that's broken and defeated to somebody that can live in victory. So I want you to write this down. Here's the secret when facing your problems, okay? And that is this. It's on the screen. We must have something to focus on that is bigger than our problems and our troubles. Can we read that together? Is it on the screen? Let's read it together. We must have something to focus on that is bigger than our problems and troubles. Let me share an example that most parents have probably experienced. Show the next picture. Everybody say, "Aw." Here's the deal. This young man is having a bad day. And the reason why he's having a bad day, I'm just assuming this, but I'm, for my sake, I can tell you why, our sake. He's fallen down, and he scratched his knee. Everybody say, "Aw." A little scratch. It's not a very big scratch, just a little scratch. But he's screaming like it's the end of the world. How many parents remember that? Screaming like, "My leg's going to fall off." End of the world. And sure, I'm not downplaying that that hurts a little. But what happens when a parent comes along? Jenny's loving this. And the parent offers a Band-Aid, puts a little Band-Aid on the scratch, and then the parent whips out a piece of candy. Does anybody know what happens? How many people know all the crying stops? Yay or nay? Why does all the crying stop? Because something bigger than the pain has come into view. The candy is bigger than the pain. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? You guys are looking at me like, "I've never seen that before. I've never heard that before." Maybe you're better parents, but candy's always the answer in my hand. Candy, candy, give them candy. Money, whatever. Something bigger than the pain has come into view. So here's a very important question that you all need to figure out. What is it in your life that's bigger than your problems? What is it in your life that's bigger than your troubles? What is it in your life that's bigger when you face those things? What is it that when you're going through the hard times, the difficult times, the times where you don't feel like you're going to make it, what is it that you can begin to focus on when you're going through difficult times? Let's go to chapter 1 now, because Paul is going to give us the answer, what to focus on. Let's pick it up in verse 9. Paul writes these words, pick it up in verse 9. He says, "We think you ought to know." He's writing to the church in Corinth. "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia." He's talking about all the things he listed in our first reading in chapter 11. He begins the letter by saying, "I think you need to know about all those things." And he goes into a little more detail here. He says, "We were crushed." How many people have ever felt crushed by a problem before? He goes on to say, "We were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure," meaning these problems were so big, they were so overwhelming, we didn't really... Paul is really laying it out there. He's saying, "Hey, church, I didn't think I was going to make it. These were big deals. These were big problems. I didn't think we were beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would what? Never live through it." Paul is saying, "I didn't think I was going to make another day. It was that bad. I didn't think I was going to live through another day." He says, in fact, he went to the extreme that I expected to die. When they were whipping me, when they were whipping me with rods, when they were throwing stones at me, all these things that were happening, I really thought that was it. I really thought, "Lord, this is the day that I'm going to go see you face to face. I thought I was going to die." That's how big his problems were. But he says this, "But as a result," and this is what you need to grab onto today, folks, "as a result." Everybody just say those words together, "as a result." And this is where we need to arrive at in our lives. When you're facing your problem, this is where you need to arrive. He says, "We stopped relying on ourselves." I've kind of given that a loose translation that we have stopped focusing on ourselves. And here's the deal. He says, "And we learn to" what? "To rely, to focus on" who? "God." And by the way, Paul adds this little addition. He says, "By the way, it's the God who raises the dead." You know why he added that? Because I think that's the biggest thing you could face, death. And Paul is saying, hey, even when that's your problem, even when you feel like your problem's that big, God can even take care of that. He can take care of anything, okay? So what we see here is what our focus should be on when we're going through difficult times. And that is, we need to begin to be people that we take our focus, for crying out loud. My dad always used to say that word. I loved it. For crying out loud, Michael, for crying out loud. We need to take our focus off of our problems. Think of your problem this morning. We need to begin to learn how to take our focus off our problems, and we need to begin to learn how to focus on what? Everybody say it together. God. The thing, the one, I shouldn't say the thing, the one who is bigger than anything. Everybody say anything. Anything. But Lord, but Mike, you don't know what happened in my house this week. You don't know about my crushed dreams. You don't know how things, I thought they were going to work out this way, but they didn't work out that this way. They actually went the other way, the other extreme. Here's the key, guys. We got to learn how to take our eyes off all those things. And we got to learn the secret of being able to focus, laser focus our attention on God. By the way, is the God who raises the dead. I want to let you know the key to victory in problems is going to be a focus issue. How many people believe that this morning? The key to victory is going to be a focus issue. We need to learn how to keep the right focus. So how do we keep our focus on God? Let me suggest three things as we close this morning. Let me put on my glasses, see what time it is. Oh, wow. It's early. Okay. Three things. How can we keep our focus on God instead of our problems? Number one, show the next slide. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. When you're facing your problem, your trouble, your difficulty, it's so easy to call everybody else and try to talk to everybody else about it. But why don't we start with prayer? Start with prayer. Prayer, in my opinion, is simply this. We align ourselves with God. How many people have ever had a car before that you've noticed when you take your hand off the steering wheel, it begins to drift to the right or it begins to drift to the left? And what do you need to do? You need to call Bowen's Garage or Swede's. That's my boy, Swede. And what you need to do is you need to go get what? An alignment. Why? Because that car is meant to go straight. And you need to get a front end realignment. And that's what prayer, I have found out for me, is an alignment. Prayer is not always that the problem is going to change immediately. My problem with the IRS went on for 18 months. 18 months. The stress of how am I going to pay back that amount of money? Where's that going to come from, Lord? And so what I had to do oftentimes, not oftentimes, because I always had a kind of a peace about God would take care of us one way or another, because I know that God is what? Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's provided every time. His track record's impeccable. But there were times that I slipped into a little doubt. And there were times that I would have to just come over here and begin to pray. And my prayer was, I was always hoping to pray, Lord, I don't want to pray that you'd take it away. My prayer was, Lord, would you align myself with you? That no matter how you choose to make it work out, I choose that you are good. Amen? I choose, Lord, even if they find no remedy, that there's no solution, that, Lord, you'll provide. The Bechtels won't go hungry. We won't miss a meal. We'll still have a roof over our head. And there were many times the prayer was not begging, God, take it away and send the check that I should be getting. No, the prayer was, Lord, I'm out of alignment today. I'm whining. I'm complaining. I need to come into your presence, Lord, and I just need to align myself with you. Didn't the Lord teach us in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come? Everybody said together, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many people know you can trust God? He's a good, good Father. Amen? He's good. He's good. How often? All the time. And all the time. And all you Pentecostals said, God is good. All right. But it's true. Our prayer is an issue of alignment. Lord, you'll take care of it. I need to get my mind from drifting and I need to get it back onto you. What is it for you today? What has got you drifting, possibly into a ditch? What's got you drifting off the path that God has for you? And you need to go into God's workshop and you need to get a mind alignment. And you need to say, Lord, I need to begin to just align myself up with the fact that you are faithful, the fact that you are good, the fact that you are my provider, the fact that you'll never leave me or forsake me, the fact that you're not against me, but you're for me. How many people need to get an alignment this morning? Why don't we do this morning? We didn't plan this. Well, let's just bow our heads right now. Is there anyone just right now, you just say, I need to get an alignment. Is there anyone here just an alignment? Father, I just pray right now, we're not even concerned about hands. I care about the hand, but Lord, that's not why we're praying, God, because Lord, I just believe that there's people right now, the problem has become bigger than you. The problem has become bigger than you. And Lord, today we come into your presence and we align ourselves up again that you will take care. Maybe you lost a job this week. Maybe things aren't working out the way you thought. Just come into alignment. Let's just get into God's presence. Come into alignment and allow God to help you. And everyone said, amen. So we pray. Here's another way you come into alignment. Next slide. Everybody say worship. Can I share my heart with you for like 2 minutes? And everybody said, yeah, you bet, Mike, just share it, man. I want to say with tenderness in my heart that what we do at the beginning of these services every week are not just songs that we sing. I hope they're a lot more than songs, amen? I hope we're not just the church that's singing songs. But I hope we're a church that's learning how to what? Worship. We're learning how to worship. Because I can't tell you how many times worship, I've come into this church, seems like God is distant, it seems like God is small, it seems like my problems are bigger than God. But you come in here and you begin to worship, hands raised, however you worship, but your focus is on worshiping God. And what happens is through that worship, you begin to regain the right perspective. And you begin to see how small the problems are, and you begin to see how big and how glorious and how mighty and how great and how amazing and, yes, how awesome our God is. Amen? So, church, we're on a journey. I don't know if you noticed that recently. We're on a journey. We don't want to just be song singers. Is everybody with me? This is why I don't want us to be song singers, because it's in worship we come into the presence of God. Amen? And my sermons aren't that good to change your life. Are you hearing me? But I tell you what, God's presence is good enough to do something in your heart that's deep and meaningful, that can cause you to walk out of here different than when you came, when we get into the presence of God. Amen? How about you guys back in the right-hand corner? Amen? Back here, amen. All right, let's go and move on. So if you need to keep your focus, pray, worship, and here's one that might surprise you. Let's get to the last slide. Everybody say, serving others. Focusing on others and their needs will help you to restore your perspective. When we're serving others, we're no longer obsessing about our own problems and the painful realities that may accompany those problems. When we're addressing the needs of other people and making their need a priority instead of my need, we realize that our problems aren't as big as they sometimes seem. So I want to challenge you today. You have a problem? Yeah, I have a problem. How many people know you're not the only one with a problem? There's other people that you can step out and you can begin to serve. And it's by serving other people with needs and problems and troubles and difficulties that something happens in that transition, that you begin to take your eyes off of yours and you put your eyes on them, and God begins to do something big in you. Does that make sense? I'm going to share with you the highlight of my week, and I'm not trying to make this bigger than it really is. This is the truth. I would say the best hour of my week, every week, is Wednesday night. That begins about 5:30 on Wednesday night. What happens at that hour, at the beginning of that hour, we begin to go out in the van and we begin to pick up kids for our midweek program. And what's happening there is basically we're serving these kids. And I tell you what, it's priceless to be in that van with those kids. Are you hearing me? I feel like I'm ripping you guys off because I haven't given you the opportunity. But when those kids begin to get in the van and they say, hey, Pastor Mike, or you hear this from the back seat, we love you, Pastor Mike. I say, I understand why. Come on. No. No, but when these kids get in the van and you just begin to hear the joy, you begin to hear the love, you begin to hear the middle school girls that are going through so much drama. They've been through more drama in their 13 short years than I've been in 53 years of my life. My friend told me she had to choose between me and somebody else to be her best friend, and she chose this girl. I said, don't worry about it. Who cares? Probably a little insensitive, but get over it. This too shall pass. Amen? But there's something about being in that van, serving those kids, and feeling the love and the connection. It's through that serving that my problems, I don't have problems. I don't. In the light of what some of these kids go through, I don't have any problems. God has been really good to me. Amen? God has been so good. And I want to let you know that it's when you're going through problems, troubles, difficulties, and you feel like it's the end and, oh, nobody else cares, why don't you start caring for somebody else? Why don't you begin to look for the other person in need and begin to serve somebody else? You'll be amazed with what God will do. Get your eyes off you, get them on others, and ultimately on Him. So what I want to do, we're going to end a little differently today. Is everybody okay with different? You don't even know what you're saying yes to, okay. By the way, I just want to say this. in the midst of all of our problems, this wasn't in my notes, but something just came to my mind. Listen carefully. In the midst of your problems, if you're serving the Lord like Paul was serving the Lord, you could be rest assured what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28. Does anybody know what that says? We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. This is what's really funny. If Heather and I would have got that tax return in May of 2015 like we expected, I thought about this the other day. If we would have got that tax return in May of 2015 like we expected it, guess what we would have done? Blown it. Party. It came at just the right time. Grant called. I'm trying. I'm working two jobs, but I just don't have enough for rent this month. You know what a joy it was to be able to write out a check that came from the government, and it never even... It didn't even stay in my hands for very long. But you know, I looked at it and I said, Lord, aren't you something? Here you are bragging again, God. You knew that we were going to need that at that time. And guess what? We got another return coming for 2016 any day now. Because Grant's calling again. Ross, don't call your parents, okay? But God is, guys, get this in your mind. God is good. You line yourself up with the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and you stick with it. You run the race marked out before you. You just say, God, I'm not going to give up. I want to give up, and I'm not. Nothing's working out the way I thought. This life of mine's a mess. Stay on the target. Stay on the path. Keep your eyes focused on the one who's bigger, more powerful, has everything you'll ever need in his resources. Amen? Let's all bow our heads. I just want to just have a real moment with God here just for the next few minutes. Grab the hand of your neighbor, please, and pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being here today. My prayer is that you don't leave the presence of the Lord, but you take the Lord with you. Have an awesome week. Thank you. God bless you.